Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
A reading from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, the baptism of Jesus. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from the heavens, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. It started up here for me. There's no water yet. But my baptism was very special. It was special because I was baptized with my brother, my friends, Mike Rinka and Arthur Moore. Art and I have been friends since Miss Roberts' kindergarten. It was a cold, rainy night, kind of like today, about 62 years ago or thereabouts. And I remember it like yesterday. We were in the wings. There were five of us boys being baptized. And we were pushing and pinching and shoving one another as boys would do. "I'm going to push you in." "No, you're not. I'm going to push you in. Let's throw him in. I'm going to do a cannonball when I get down." And suddenly, in the midst of all of our messing with each other, we heard this sound. Wham! And then we heard the preacher say, "Ha!" Only I clean that up for you. The preacher was in a little dressing stall, and as he was pulling up his waders, he bumped his head on the cross piece of the stall and cursed. And if the children weren't here, I'd tell you what he said. They've probably heard it before anyway, but that's all right. That was my baptism. And we stood, our eyes were big as saucers, our legs were shaking, our stomachs were quaking, because this man who had just cussed was about to dunk us. And God, please let him bring us up. Like yesterday, I remember my baptism. I got it in here. I remember my baptism. I also remember the day we came into the baptistry with my friend Lacey to baptize her, and the heater had not turned on in the baptistry. And it was ice cold in this water. And I said to her, "Do you want to be baptized?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "It's cold in there." She said, "I'll be fine." And she came in and I said, "What is your profession of faith?" And she said, "I profess Jesus. Is that enough?" And I said, "For both of us." And I, down and out we went. And then there was a time that 5-year-old Taylor came for baptism. He and I talked beforehand, and when we came out, his mother was frantic, and she was passing, pacing and wringing her hands and wondering. And as we came out, she said, "Well, did he pass?" And I looked at her. She said, "Does he know everything?" And I said, "Well, no." And her face fell. And I said, "But I don't know everything either." We had to put Taylor on a cement block in the baptistry so he wouldn't drown before we could dunk him. And then when we were done, he did the breaststroke out of the baptistry. Church is at its best when we're human. And baptism reminds us of our humanity and our community with God and with one another. I'll have a little bit more to say about baptism in just a minute.
There's a hard rain falling, and it soaks me to the bone. But in the cold and wet, at least I know that I am not alone. 'Cause in these waters I'm forgiven, and in these waters I am free. And in these waters I can hear God speak of that holy mystery. And he tells me, you are my beloved. So remember, I am with you wherever you roam. Don't you know that you are my beloved? And when you turn to me, you're always coming home. Rain sustain the rivers, and the storms turn into streams. And when we catch ourselves up in their flow, together we can dream. 'Cause in these waters we're connected as one diverse community. And in these waters we can hear God speak of that holy mystery. And she tells us, you are my beloved. So remember, I am with you wherever you roam. Don't you know that you are my beloved? And when you turn to me, you're always coming home. Rivers find their ocean and then fade into the sky. And all the while they carve and shape the land as time goes passing by. So let these waters roar for justice, 'cause in these waters we are free. And in these waters we can hear God speak of that holy mystery. And they tell us, you are my beloved. So remember, I am with you wherever you roam. I want you to know that you are my beloved. And when you turn to me, you're always coming home.
That was an original song written this week for this service. Man, I am so jealous of whoever your next pastor is to get to work with this staff. Mercy. Thank you, Christian band. Group. Well, good morning. I did something this morning I never do. I slept through my alarm. My alarm was going off. I was in the middle of a dream with my friend Tommy Williamson. We were talking on our cell phones. The alarm went off, and in my dream, I kept pushing the button, and nothing would stop. And finally, Gail punched me and said, "Turn off your alarm." I went, "Oh, my goodness. It's warm in here. It's cold out there. I wonder who's preaching today." She said, "You are. Get up and get ready." Some days are like that. So the question is, we follow into the waters of baptism out of obedience to Christ. And in that baptism, not only do we obey with Christ, but we follow what has been set before us by thousands and thousands of people through the years. And it brings us into community with one another, because you have a baptism story just like I have. Maybe not quite like I have. Our missions leader, who was trying to corral us in the baptistry after the preacher cussed, smiled and said, "Boys, today scripture has been fulfilled." And we said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I've been telling people for years you boys could make a preacher cuss." That started it, you know, all those many years ago, and here we are. Now, Mark, the Gospel of Mark, is an oral gospel. Mark was written to be heard, because in those days, as Mark was writing, scripture was not available freely. And so Mark is writing the stories of Jesus for those of us who are the followers of Jesus to hear the gospel. And Mark uses vivid words and alive action words, but he also uses short phrases so that we can hear. So Mark's gospel starts with the adult Jesus. There's no fanfare in Jesus' coming in this moment. There are no angels, there are no shepherds, there are no star in the sky. There's nothing but the adult Jesus beginning his ministry. Because Mark wants to show, wants to tell the second generation of believers that Jesus and John were tied together in ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And a few verses down in Mark's gospel, Jesus begins his ministry with those words. Same words as John. Why? Because Jesus is trying to tie himself into the community of believers. There was no First Baptist Church of Jerusalem in the days of Jesus. But there was this new spirit that was moving across the land, this new spirit that was confronting Rome, this new spirit that was confronting the Jewish leaders, this new spirit that was confronting the state. And Jesus wanted to be identified and unified with that movement. So Jesus is looking for community. Aren't we all? We all are looking for community. Prior to COVID, the average American had 3 to 5 friends that they could call up at any time, day or night, with good news or bad news, and say, "Can I talk to you for a moment?" And those 3 to 5 friends would say, "Absolutely." Post-COVID, the average American has one friend. If something great was to happen to you, this afternoon, who would you call? Who would you tell? If something terrible were to happen to you at 2 o'clock in the morning, who would you call? Who would you tell? We're all looking for community. We're all looking for a place to belong. And the baptistry unifies us and unites us. For Jesus, community was the priority. So you see Jesus healing on the Sabbath. He doesn't care about the Sabbath. He cares about the person. In Mark's gospel, you see the demons being cast out of the Gerasene demoniac into a herd of pigs. Jesus didn't care about the pigs. He cared about the person. Jesus was looking for community, a community of people with whom he could belong. And so are we. I've told you the story before, the man who confronted me one day after church and said, why do you do the altar call every week? We don't need to do the altar call. I said, that's kind of the point of the whole thing, don't you think? We invite you to come and join the church so that you have community, so that you can hear the words that Jesus heard. You are my beloved. Now, Matthew spins it a different way. Matthew says, this is my beloved, as if God is announcing it to all who see Jesus coming up out of the water. But Mark's gospel, short to the point, here's the facts, says, the voice of God said to Jesus, you are my beloved. You are my beloved. And he says that to each of us. Joining the church is an important act of faithfulness. And we're going to be talking about that in the next couple of weeks as Annabeth and some of our key leaders talk to those of you who are searching for a church home, talking about what it means to be a member here. And baptism is also an important act of faithfulness. As we follow the community through the waters of baptism, baptism doesn't save us. Baptism joins us together with the saved. My friend Mary came to Christ and came to join the church during a revival. And she was so excited about claiming Christ for the first time in her life. She said to us, I've heard things about Jesus I've never heard before. I was brought up Catholic. I don't understand the Bible, but you people do, and I want to be a part of that. And so Mary joined the church and came and joined the church and wanted to be baptized. Her husband was excited. Her in-laws were excited, but Mary's parents were not excited. You've turned your back on your faith. You've turned your back on your family. We forbid you to go and do that. If you go and do that, you will no longer be a part of our family. Well, what would you have done? What would you have said to Mama and them? Mary came to us with tears and said, I want to be a member of the church, but I just can't be baptized. And we said, we're going to love you regardless. But she missed that moment that she so desired to walk through the waters of baptism and to join herself, unite herself with all of us who had done similar. And then there was Gary who came to me. Gary said, I want to be baptized. Do I have to be dunked? I said, well, that's our practice. He said, well, that's a crazy practice. Why? And I said, because we're Baptists. And because we believe that the believer decides how they're going to follow Christ. And one of the ways we as Baptists follow Christ is by being baptized, dunked, and letting the waters overflow us. And he said, so everybody in our church has been baptized? I said, everybody who's a member has been baptized. He said, so if I join the church, I got to be baptized to be a member of the church? I said, yep. He said, okay. He called his mama and his daddy. He called his Aunt Marcia. His kids came home from college to watch their daddy go through the waters of baptism. It was an amazing day. And Jesus did the same. Jesus, in obedience to the Father, said, I want to be like these people. I want to identify with this movement. I don't just want to identify with it. I want to lead it. And so Jesus goes to the water. And Mark says, just matter-of-factly, Jesus came for baptism. There was no Jesus wrestled with baptism. There was no Jesus was praying to God about baptism. There was no, the angel came to Jesus and said, go be baptized. Jesus just went to the water to be baptized, according to Mark. Are y'all paying attention over there? I said it five times. I didn't see a blue thing yet. Are y'all paying attention out there? Maybe we need to get crepe paper to everyone. The heavens are torn apart. The heavens are torn apart. And a dove descends and lands on Jesus. And a voice from heaven proclaims, you are my beloved. Mark's gospel is personal. The dove was sent for Jesus. The Spirit of God was sent for Jesus. The voice of God was directed at Jesus. You are my beloved. God is majesty and mystery. And try as hard as we will never understand all of that. But God is also personal and intimate. And in that moment, the perfect parent of heaven says to the perfect son of earth, you are my beloved. Verse 11 tells us, Jesus has done nothing to deserve that. Jesus hadn't even started his ministry to verse 15. Jesus has done no miracles. He's called no disciples. He's just getting ready. He's fixing to get ready to go do ministry. And so the first step is to be baptized. And being baptized, God says, you are my beloved. God's affirmation of Jesus is not based on the works of Jesus. It's based on the relationship with Jesus. And the same is true for us. You are God's beloved. When our first child was born, they didn't birth babies then like they birth babies now. You know, now everybody comes in the room, there's a big party, there's balloons everywhere, and the baby comes out, and everybody's, you know, all of that. Well, in the good old days, nobody was in the room but the mama, and they did the baby thing. And then you got to see the baby through the glass in the nursery. And so my mother-in-law and my mother and I are standing looking at the babies in the nursery. Only one baby, actually, they were focused on, ours. Our oldest daughter was firstborn grandchild on both sides of the family. Everyone was pleased in that moment. And we're looking at that beautiful baby and speaking in terms of, that is our beloved grandchild. On the other side of me, there's a woman standing going, oh, these poor babies. The world they've been born into. The pain of this world, the meanness of people. I don't know why anybody would have a baby at this point in life. At this point, my mother and my mother-in-law are ready to tackle this woman. Thanks be to God, I was between them and this woman. And my mother and my mother-in-law both talked to the window, but they were saying it so this woman could hear over there. That baby right there, she is our beloved. Whew. Is that? You are God's beloved. You are God's beloved. God in heaven and God of earth, forgive us when we forget that we are your beloved children. Forgive us when we forget how important baptism is in the unity and community of our church. Thank you, God, for the affirmation of Jesus, but thank you even more for the affirmation you have given to each of us. We are your beloved, and we claim that through Jesus the Christ, our Lord. Amen.